Hello and welcome to Policy Matters, the podcast from Taito where we explore the intersection between policy and communications and the evolving role of media in shaping global tech policy. This series helps PR and communication leaders at tech companies understand how to engage with the media, build meaningful relationships, and craft stories that drive impact in a complex European and global political landscape.
In today's episode, we're joined by Eve Novakovic, Executive and Policy Communications Senior Manager at Google DeepMind. Prior to her current role, Eve handled corporate and policy communications for Vodafone, with a particular focus on developing key relationships with EU and Brussels journalists. Eve, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. My pleasure.
So, Eve, Google DeepMind will need no introduction for many listeners. London-based AI research lab at the forefront of a number of quite big AI breakthroughs, including obviously Gemini. And this must be a fascinating time to work in AI and emerging tech, particularly with that policy focus. Can you just tell us a little bit about your role and what's really exciting you about the space at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I guess I'd start by saying it's not hard to find things to be excited about when it comes to AI at the moment. It's become such a massive part of the global conversation, which I think as a comms person, that's always really exciting and such a good opportunity to be involved in. I think for my work specifically, what we're really kind of focused on doing is trying to make sure that it's clear what the aims of our technologies are, how they're kind of impacting society and people day to day, but also longer term, and really just making sure that people who are really key and influential in that policy debate, whether that's policymakers, political figures, those working on the periphery, so civil society groups, academics, researchers, that they really understand our mission, what we're trying to achieve, and what our kind of key principles as a company really are, so that they can keep that in mind as they shape various different regulations and policies that will ultimately influence the wider tech sector.
Yeah, that's it. And keeping those people sort of both up to date and informed about what's going on is so critical, especially when there's that big focus on policy and regulations in that tech sector. I mean, a lot of people are now noticing that media is becoming much more interested in that area and regulation in the tech sector. Why is media becoming such a critical tool for tech companies, particularly with that focus on shaping policy?
I think media is massively influential in terms of how not just policymakers, but the broader members of public feel and think about technology, whether that's AI or any other sector. They have a huge impact, both in terms of the agenda, but also the sentiment behind different technologies. So I think as well as controlling which are the key kind of areas that we're debating amongst ourselves, media has a huge sway over how that message comes across. So are people feeling excited? Are they feeling anxious or uncertain about the future? And being able to engage through journalists and various different media outlets, I think, is a way of making sure your company has a kind of stake in the ground, has a voice at the table, and is able to either reassure in areas where they need to reassure or give more examples of things people can look forward to or should already be using in their day-to-day lives. So I think it should definitely not be underestimated. I think sometimes it can be almost because we're so used to interacting with media every day in our lives, whether that's TV, radio, reading news online or social media. We're all humans at the end of the day. We consume it on a daily basis. But exactly for that reason, it's a massively helpful tool in trying to kind of inform audiences and influence them as they're kind of covering some of the areas that your business might be covering. I'd also say on that, it's a great way of kind of galvanizing people on an issue. So really kind of to that point I made about driving up excitement, if you also have a really strong call to action you want to make, the media can be an exceptionally useful tool to do that, to get straight through to people through the channels that they like to engage from. And it's also a great platform for just really kind of setting out what are the challenges, what are the opportunities, what are the solutions for any of the kind of technologies that you might be working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it sounds like a no-brainer that tech companies should be really utilizing media as an obvious way through to both influence and inform. I mean, are there some risks of staying silent during these big moments of tech regulatory scrutiny? We hear a lot about tech companies perhaps saying, oh, I don't want to get involved too much in politics. It sounds like that's quite a risky strategy.
I think it definitely is. I think it always comes back to what the subject matter is and what your business is focused on. Sometimes, frankly, it's not your debate to be involved in, and it may not serve your purposes to be involved in that discussion. Other times, it's going to be really detrimental if you don't have a voice. People, I think, expect a lot of companies these days, like rightly so. They want transparency. They want to know what's going on under the hood. They want to feel updated, and they want to know what a company's position is on some really important issues. So I think it is really important to have that voice. I think it's also really important to know what tone that voice is, as part of that kind of broader reputation and trust building. I think audiences kind of want to get a sense of what you stand for, and it shouldn't come as a surprise a lot of the time how you respond to different issues if you've got that kind of track record over time. So, yeah, I think definitely a lot of risk of not speaking up when you should, but also just taking that step back and thinking, is this our issue? Is it our debate right now? Am I helping the conversation, or am I just adding noise and kind of detracting from the voices that people really actually need to be hearing from?
Well, that's a really good point to make, and I'd love to kind of dig in a little bit further on that, and you know, get a bit practical, because obviously at DeepMind you're operating in one of the spheres of technology that it's most rapidly evolving. Legislation's kind of having a hard time keeping up in some cases, and we're seeing a lot of kind of rapidly changing and kind of quite diverging legislation in different markets. So how do you start then? How do you go about kind of crafting that media narrative that's going to, you know, support the goals of your policy team, but also deliver on the reputational goals of your organization that you're working on anyway? How do you bring those two things together and really create the right narrative?
Yeah, so I think the most fundamental thing that I'm always keeping in mind is just storytelling. Like, what is the story you want to tell? And being able to zoom out a bit from the day to day. I think it's really easy to get caught up in maybe a specific policy issue that's happened. Maybe you're talking about a specific country or a specific agency within a government, for example. But actually telling that story of the long-term impact of your technology, I think, is going to help address a lot of some of the challenges you face, because you're really helping take people on this journey of, okay, so using AI for an example, maybe I'm very familiar with chatbots and that's something I use every day, but maybe your average person has a vague sense that that could be beneficial in healthcare, for example, or kind of a number of other areas, but they don't know what that really looks like. And that's going to transfer then over to the pressure policymakers also feel to be able to put minds at rest and show that they're really on top of the regulation, that they're really deeply thinking these things through. So I think you just have to get that storytelling really clear in your mind of what that longer term vision is. Keep people on the journey so that they feel that they understand this technology. It's not taking them by surprise. They're actually a really active voice and participant in the journey. It's not just happening to them, it's happening with them. And I think that storytelling is age old, and I think a lot of people talk about this externally, but just tapping into those emotions, being relatable, solving a problem is all kind of part of being able to make people feel comfortable and make policymakers really understand how the changes they're making today are going to have a long-term impact on people and society.
I love that you talked about storytelling, because you're right. You know, for anybody working in communications, that's where we should be starting with all that we're doing. So I love that you really highlighted the importance of storytelling in building effective policy communication. So if you're starting from the point where you know what your company's story is, you know what you're trying to say, then your approach to policy should be really clear, right? It shouldn't be a huge leap from that, because you already know what you're trying to achieve, you already know you know what you want to get involved with. So I love that in terms of, because one of the things we wanted to ask you about was, you know, how can you as a comms person really engage with your policy team and really show how you can add value? And I mean, that's fundamentally, you've laid out one of the biggest opportunities there already, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really important that policy teams see their comms people as a partner and someone that they can soundboard ideas from as well. Just to that point earlier I made around it being really easy to kind of get into the weeds on certain issues or conversations that you might be having, I think it's really helpful to just have that partner that you can kind of say, like, this is the message that we want to get across. Is that landing with you? Do you understand that? Does it make sense? And having that kind of back and forth to work out, okay, between the place we want to get to and reality, how is this message gonna land best right now? So yeah, very much being a partner to kind of collaborate with.
But if you're a comms person, you know, and not perhaps, you know, multitasking, you know, the classic multitasking comms professional, not necessarily a policy expert, how can you make sure that you understand some of these nuances, some of these quite complex and technical policy debates that are going on, so that you can really engage with your policy team and you know, engage with the media in a really effective way? How can you kind of upskill yourself, if you like?
So this is actually where AI I have personally found really helpful in ways that you might not initially expect. So I think there's the kind of more obvious things that we can all do that I often do. So for me, working with Google, obviously, Gemini is a tool I use. And just day to day, if we're kind of getting to grips with a new piece of policy or legislation, sometimes those documents can be kind of 200 plus pages long, really dense. And using that tool through just a variety of prompts of kind of understanding, okay, where in this piece is there a specific reference to X, our business? How will that impact us? Just to get as quickly as you can to the crux of the issue that you're wanting to then talk about and kind of influence in a way. And then I think less obvious ways are one of our tools, Notebook LM, is actually brilliant for, if you feed in some of these materials, actually creating a podcast where you could have two hosts debating amongst themselves that topic. So if you're someone that learns much more audibly or passively, you might want to pop that on for half an hour whilst you're commuting to work. And actually,
should we have done that for our podcast today, Eve? Is that what you're saying?
I would definitely always prefer to be chatting to a human. Yeah. But for those rainy days when like getting to work is an absolute slog, I'm like very happy to listen to something like that rather than reading 200 pages.
Absolutely. And if, you know, if that's the challenge as well of the comms professional, is to help translate these complex issues into narratives, because you know the media that we're going to be engaging with are not necessarily going to be policy experts as well. That's another way that you can demonstrate that value to your policy team.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's also just smart to get really proficient in these technologies. Just given the fact that they will start to become a part of the way that we work. For me, that's already happening in some of the ways that I outlined. And for policymakers as well, I think it's really helpful to kind of encourage that use of the tools and just understanding how it can actually be helpful in your life. What are some of the limits to that helpfulness? There are some things that AI just simply won't help with and other areas that it can. So I think, encouraging others and yourself as well to just use some of these technologies, I think, is always something that I'm keen to get people to do.
Absolutely. But thinking about that kind of translating of complex and technical or legal language, when you're engaging media with your policy position, what are the pros and cons of kind of who your spokespeople are? So when should it be the comms person? When should it be the policy expert? Or when should it actually be, you know, an engineer or a scientist or someone that kind of really understands the deep issues around the product? How do you go about making that call?
It's a really interesting question. I think it can often depend on the type of story the reporter is writing on. So it might be that they're just looking for some background information on a very specific piece of policy. Maybe it's an emerging area. Maybe they're in an early consultation phase, for example. They appreciate that the companies may not yet have an official position on something, but they just really want to understand what the legislation is and how it's going to have an impact, and maybe how we're starting to form an opinion. So I think in those cases, it's really helpful to chat to someone who's been really close to that issue on the team, not necessarily a CEO representative or even like a head of policy, but somebody that specializes in that area and can talk a bit more candidly about how it's developing, how we're thinking about things. I think in other examples, it might be that the announcement is much more kind of national at a level, so it could be coming from the UK government at large, or the EU, for example. And I think it's important in those moments to also match the authority and the spokespeople that those governments are putting forward. So if that's the Prime Minister or Secretary of State, for example, that's when you might start to think, okay, the more senior voices, the leadership team, how can we kind of get them involved in the debate? So I think it is that mix of the kind of story they're writing, how that's shaping up, how strong an opinion you want to lean into at that specific moment in time, and then just matching up the best person, depending on those.
Yeah. And Eva, it's really interesting you talk about that, you know, tailoring almost the spokesperson, the message, depending on who you're speaking to, where that message is coming from. I suppose the other reason you might tailor a message is your actual policy position, because some regulations will be announced, and I assume DeepMind, as with every other tech company, will be supportive. Others may come out and it might be something that we're a little bit worried about. We might want to try and resist or change. How do media tactics, I suppose, differ depending on whether you are pro or against a policy announcement?
Yeah, so I think this kind of comes back to that point around objective as well that we chatted about earlier. So is the kind of goal with a certain policy to start soft sounding an idea, or is it to really put your stake in the ground and be the most vocal company in the debate at that moment in time? I think where the sort of specific policy, for example, is in its trajectory, if it's still being debated, consulted upon, reworked and seeking input from different third parties, etc., then soft sounding that idea would lend itself well to things like off record conversations. Particularly in my time sort of leading on Brussels comms for Vodafone, I think that's when I had an appreciation for just how much happens off record in regions like Brussels. I hadn't really seen that to that extent before sort of taking that role on. But actually, that is more helpful in a lot of instances to those journalists where they just want to understand something at the kind of first point, but acknowledging that it's not yet at the right time to be getting the sort of official company positions. I would say that's also very different then from when something is really part of the global debate. So using the example actually of the first AI safety summit we had at Bletchley Park a couple of years ago now, that really was a chance for leading AI labs to put forward their thoughts and collaborate with governments, with civil society groups, etc. And it was important for them to have a voice at that moment in time. So actually participating in events, keynotes, things of that nature, and on record broadcast interviews, for example, that can all just really help you get across those key things that you want to land. And that's a lot more appropriate in that moment in time.
Yeah. And the AI Safety Summit is such an interesting example, because I remember even back as far as Bletchley, there was this almost tension between those who wanted to talk about unleashing AI and all the potential. And then on the other hand, you had a lot of people who were very worried about where it could go. And we're really interested in talking about the risks and the safeguards. I mean, when it comes to crafting a media narrative or engagement with policymakers, do you find it slightly more effective to focus on that innovation and progress, or lean more on engaging with people's perceived risks and the safeguards that might be used to overcome some of those? Because it's almost like a carrot and stick approach to media relations, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to do both those things in tandem. I think if you think of your audiences as you do yourself, like, how do I feel about this technology? I'm going to have excitement for it in some ways, and I'm also going to be pretty unsure about it longer term. And I may have heard certain things that might make me think that there's risks associated, but I probably don't understand those risks to a sort of very detailed degree, but I'm broadly aware of them. So I think that's certainly the way I would approach the comms that I work on, is kind of thinking of myself, people, friends and family that I know, how would they approach these things? And I think you have to both show the innovation and the responsible approach at the same time, so that people can kind of have in that technology. They can get excited about it because they know that other leadership figures across government, across the industry, for example, that they are also thinking about these things in tandem. And that's something we've always been very consistent with at Google DeepMind is that we believe there's huge opportunities, but it has to be developed responsibly. And I think you'll sort of see that show up in a lot of the external work that we do as being a balanced approach.
Yeah, there's sometimes a bit of cynicism, isn't there, when a tech company comes out and does have that nuanced opinion where it says, yes, there is real scope for innovation and progress, but there are also some risks. And here's how we see those safeguards developing. I think it was back in 2021, there was a German MEP who sounded the alarm on a practice called astroturfing, where you have the perception of a grassroots campaign for a safety initiative or for a specific policy. But it's actually a little bit artificial. It's being pushed by some of those bigger tech players. I suppose my question on that is more around what happens when a campaign does sort of backfire or get labelled as astroturfing, because it is becoming more and more of an issue. How should companies respond when they're found out, I suppose?
Yeah, it's a good question. I guess just before I dive into the astroturfing specifically, I think something I would say around that point of it, sometimes there being skepticism about a company that would talk about being responsible whilst also kind of leaning into development. I think the fact of the matter also is for any business, no matter what sector that's in, whatever technology you're building, you're not going to sell that product or service if you don't have trust. And that's fundamental to your business model in that case. So I think showing what you're doing responsibly is not only the right thing to do and a principled thing to do, it's also fundamental to the progress of your company. So I think there is an authenticity in that business sense as well. I think specifically with astroturfing, I think being seen as inauthentic, it's going to have huge implications reputationally for companies. It will be subject to media scrutiny. I think if journalists who are very perceptive to these things get any whiff of there being something inauthentic, that's going to play out quite publicly in how they report on your company. So to me, in any company I worked in, I would really question what's the benefit of doing something kind of grassroots, because what you have to lose and the risk significantly outweighs the benefit, I think, probably nearly all of the time. So I think now that people have such high expectations on companies to be transparent, I would just really question why you were doing that, and if there's other ways of kind of invoking influence without this kind of more dark arts approach.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to ask you next, actually, because firstly, I think we very much agree, you know, the risks of trying to fake it are, you know, almost always much greater than the risks of being authentic. But talking about grassroots and talking about building influence, we've talked a lot about kind of, you know, more traditional media relations in this conversation so far. But how is social media, how is the growing and changing role of influencers affecting how you engage with the public on policy issues?
So I think there's a few different ways that it's having an impact. Firstly, media is this kind of platform to get to the policymakers. With social media, you almost cut through a layer of that. It becomes much more direct, especially if some of these kind of key opinion formers or influencers largely have their own channels that will get a lot of attention and a strong following. You're kind of going direct to the people you're influencing in a way. So it's a massively important tool for any communications plan that you might be making to factor that in, along with the traditional media tactics that you'll often see. I think also the way that some of those influencers on their social channels report on news is really authentic. They know their audience inside out, what they're going to respond well to and what they're not going to. So actually, from a PR point of view, you might have much less control over that message than you could if it's your own blog or press release that you're putting out to the world. But actually, that authenticity, I think, lands really well with people and with policymakers. Yeah. So the trust that they have, or how seriously they might take that message if it's coming from somebody that they have this long-standing respect for, trust for, is going to land really well. And then I think the other area would just be around trending conversation, and that being a big indicator to a policymaker, okay, this topic's getting a lot of traction right now. This is something I should be thinking about, and just seeing it social in that perspective as well. But it's a lot of insights on like the current conversation and where that's headed.
The first part of your answer, I was thinking, oh, so it's harder to be authentic when you're trying to engage with influencers because, you know, you have to force it a little bit more. But then the second half of your answer was actually, if you are successful in engaging influencers, then they will be much more authentic because their own brands depend on it. So although that can be more challenging, actually, if you are successful in that, it can deliver in terms of building awareness and kind of getting your story out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, following on from that last point, do you think that policymakers themselves are increasingly an audience for or are influenced by those same influencers, those same social media conversations? How much do you think it actually directly is a technique for engaging with the policymakers?
I think it definitely is. At the end of the day, we all consume media and I think have a leaning towards a certain kind of person's view, how they report on things, their hot take, and policymakers are no exception to that. So I think they're definitely looking to social to get those voices, to get a bit of an outside perspective on the work that they're doing, how that's kind of landing with communities, and just also understanding, I think, a lot of the technologies that they'll be regulating. I think going to social media for some of that debate and seeing the developments and how they're kind of playing out will be a really helpful tool for them in understanding the tech behind these things. So yeah, I think overall, definitely something to be aware that policymakers are listening to and consuming and will be influenced by.
Have you had any experience of that in your own role or kind of seen any examples of where that's kind of played out in real time? Putting you on the spot there.
Well, we very frequently have different spokespeople go and speak to podcasters. I think, yeah, again, leaning into the areas that they're most focused on. And I think from our experience broadly to that point around having less control and a more open dialogue has been a really important way of building that trust. So there's lots of different podcasts, things like 80,000 Hours, Faster Please, where I think they take quite a broader societal view on things like AI, but then they do get quite technical on the details. So what you'll find with those more niche podcasts are also that their audience are very have a quite advanced understanding of tech and AI in that example. So to what we discussed earlier around putting the right person forward, we'll have people that have that technical expertise be able to go on and kind of give those, bring those examples to life and talk about things a lot more granular level. And that seems to work really well as part of our comms approach externally generally.
Yeah, Eve, I'm just picking up on a point you made there, because that was absolutely fascinating, that the idea that having less control can actually be a really positive comms tool. As comms professionals, I think we often sometimes get a bit nervous about having less control about messaging and worrying about people's going off message. How do you, I mean, is it to do with the spokespeople? How do you build that trust and how do you prepare spokespeople for these kind of discussions so that there is that authenticity in message, but also they're not going horribly off message in a space as important as tech regulation?
So I think it depends on who you're working with, but there's some quite fundamental things that are true no matter who that is. I would say just making it really clear, okay, what are our top five policy areas that we are really focused on right now as a company, and what's our point of view we want to get across? That will be a very high level message. But I think something that we're always really keen to be the case with any of our spokespeople is that they know that that's something that they contextualize in a way that makes sense to them and their work and their lived experience as a person, and that it comes across authentically. So you don't want to be in that position where you're sort of saying, this is what you should say verbatim. I think it's very obvious to everyone involved when someone's doing that. And if nothing else, it's quite boring to listen to. So I think it's really about bringing that person's personality across, their expertise, the conversations they're having, but just trying to make sure that the main message and the purpose is getting across at a fundamental level without being too carefully orchestrated on exactly how you land that.
And going back to our earlier point, if you've already done the work on your storytelling as a business, then that becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all laddering up then to this bigger mission, which I think if your company has a really clear mission, you can always bring it back to that.
Completely agree. So looking forward, you know, we talk again in 6 months, everything's going to have changed again. Do you think tech companies, based on, you know, what you're seeing in your role and in the market, do you think tech companies are going to become more transparent, more authentic, or more aggressive, or somewhere in the middle? What do you think is going to happen? Give us a prediction.
With my crystal ball, I think transparency is becoming more and more essential. It's not a nice to have in the way that maybe it was in previous years. So I think definitely you're going to see companies wanting to show what's happening behind the scenes, and that's true across different sectors, no matter what technology they're working on or they're selling. I think there is that recognition that if you're going to build trust, you have to be able to share, and that has to also be a two-way conversation. So I think definitely more transparent, creative in how they go about being transparent, whatever way kind of makes most sense to the audiences that they're speaking to, the way that's more helpful. I certainly don't think you'll see that being deprioritized just because of how much of a direct link it has to the trust and the company reputation, it being so important for that, that I think it will still be prioritized, and we'll see it become more and more frequent.
Well, that's encouraging to hear.
Brilliant. I feel like we could talk forever about where comms is going to be in 6 months. That the reality is everything is changing so quickly. I feel like we almost don't know. I mean, Eve, your point earlier about AI being used to really help inform that policy comms sort of positioning, really interesting. Are there any other technologies that you see on the horizon that could really change the way in which tech companies engage with policymakers over the next 6 months?
I think. The way that I see things playing out generally is that tech is becoming such a fundamental part of what we all do, no matter what company we're working for, that just being able to kind of think creatively about how you can start using that in your work and how it can best serve you as a person is going to be really important. So what works for one person may not work for another, but the only way you're going to get there is to kind of experiment. So I think as comms people will be challenging ourselves and each other to try out new things, like how can you be using AI for different things, like your media monitoring, is it going to be helpful in that way for your summarization of sort of circulating information internally? Can it help you there? Strategy-wise, can things like AI be a good sort of sounding partner for you to test out ideas, like using them almost as another teammate to kind of say, I'm thinking of doing this. How do you think that will play out? I think that...
As a partner, not a replacement.
Exactly, as a partner and someone that just helps you in the way you want to be helped, and stress testing that. So I think we'll all be encouraged to do that more and more, and probably incentivized within companies to show that you're kind of keeping up with that and that you're finding ways to save time and drive more efficiencies and things like that internally.
Brilliant. Well, look, I think we could talk for another half an hour. Unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end. It's been a really fascinating conversation, Eve. Thank you so much. We are really looking forward to the next 6 months and seeing how things progress. So thank you, Eve Novakovic, Executive and Policy Communications Senior Manager for Google DeepMind.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Policy Matters, part of the Without Borders podcast series from Taito, the only PR and communications agency built to scale tech companies faster across Europe.